Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? We had a good old time over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. It was Wow Wednesday, and we started with our girl Vivian and her socially conscious segment. And it is wonderful to know that the top five COVID states have all had numbers drop, with the exception of one. But listen, giving God thanks. Giving God thanks. Florida was not even in the number five at all. Wow, yes. So there is some improvement. Well, I just want to remind all of you that if you love your Dole classic salad, you're going to have to be careful. Don't buy it. There's a recall, as well as Green Giant whole onion. So, you know, look on Coach for Christian Life Facebook page. Vivian has promised to post that information on our, you know, on our site, so you can get an opportunity to see what you don't need to be buying from the store. Yes. Okay. Well, this vaccination mandate has given us a shortage of employees, and the robots are taking more and more spots. Yep, well, they promised that a while. It's been a couple of decades that they've been saying that the robots were going to take over, and yeah, they're starting to do that as more kiosks are popping up, and you know, a lot of people are going to have to stay home because there's no jobs when the robots are going to be filling the positions. Yes. So, you know, I guess on the one side it's going to be beneficial, and on the other side, some people are going to have to start worrying, especially those types who, you know, that's how we got our low start. Yeah. You know, we got our low start by going to the fast food restaurants and stuff like that. Well, it's cheaper to pay the robot. And as somebody said yesterday, at least you don't have to worry about somebody walking off the job or them being late or them getting on your nerves. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. Employees can be quite somebody's handful. Yeah, so, you know, Vivian gave us some information yesterday and some stuff to talk about. You know, I'm not going to talk about a couple of the other things because I think I want to talk about that stuff today with my Due Time group. Yes. All righty. So, we dropped on through And we had the lady, the women of worship, join us. And they dropped on by, I should say. And we had a nice conversation that continued from last week. We talked about the vision within the ministry, all those little visions that make up the big vision. You know, God gives you something for you to do. He sets something on your heart. Well, you have to have some components to, you know, be able to fulfill that vision. And you've got to have some vision for your own life. Yeah, so we kind of toggled between the two because it all put together makes a difference. Okay? So yesterday we talked about having a vision for the lost soul. Yeah. You know, somebody reminded us, one of the ladies reminded us that that's the Great Commission, you know, to go out and disciple others. Well, that's because we have to have in our view that there are lost souls out here. And that should be our goal, to help people come to Christ. You know, what else are you going to concentrate on if, you know, you don't put your mind there first? Okay, so we got to make sure we keep that in the forefront. Well, it got a little deep because we started talking about some other stuff in that vision department, and we talked about the judgment seat of Christ. Ooh, the ladies really did it up yesterday when we started talking about a few more deeper areas of the vision, things that you have to definitely keep in your view to make sure that you stay on track. Because if your life is not on track, then how are you going to fulfill God's vision for your life and for his kingdom? So that judgment seat of Christ is definitely going to have to be in your view, because we have to keep in mind that we're going to have to, and hey, you know, everything we do will and is rated. It will be and is rated. Yeah. He's watching everything we do. I don't know how people are functioning out here thinking that, you know, you ducking this person or you're ducking that person and you don't want this one to see you. You don't want that one to see you. You don't want this one to know. And the ever seeing eyes of God is always there. And, you know, he handed over, you know, some responsibility to Jesus. And he's going to hand over more responsibility to Jesus. So, yeah, he's not only going to be talking to God for us. Nope. Better go read your Bible. Jesus is going to have a lot more responsibility than a lot of us understand. So for those of us who dismiss the existence of Christ, woo boy, I don't know how they going to make it. I don't know. Because if you don't acknowledge Jesus, and God has given Jesus more responsibility, then I think you might be in a little trouble. Yeah. So we also talked about having the vision of hell. Yeah, you better remember that hell is real. Okay, you know, we had that vision, movie that said, what do you say, heaven is real. Well, baby, you better remember that hell is real as well. And if we don't keep in mind that hell is existing at the end for those who are not listeners and followers of Christ, man, I don't know what you're going to do, because you're going to be hollering. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So all of these things really matter. Yeah, these things really matter. You got to keep these things in your view, because you know what? Not only is it going to keep your life together, but it helps to keep you on track. Yeah, it does. It really does. It helps to keep you on track when you remember that, you know, there is a mission that has been put out here. There is a goal that you have, you know, that God has set for you, and you've been commissioned to do some things. And a lot of times, unless we keep these things in the forefront of our mind, yeah, we kind of lose sight. And when you lose sight of it, now you in trouble. Yeah, because when you lose sight of the ultimate plan, then guess what? You're not going to do certain things. And when you don't do certain things, oh, man, do I have to keep going? Do I have to keep going? No, right? Mm-mm. I shouldn't have to keep going, because I'm going to tell you something. You better pay attention. You better pay attention, because our faith over fear yesterday came with the reminder that the enemy is lurking. Yes, we got a grand ending to our Wow Wednesday with our Pastor Sharlin. And yesterday might be an episode you want to go back and listen to for real, because it really was power-packed. As always, the ladies did their thing. As always, they never disappoint. So, you know, get over that hump day right here on Z Time with Pastor Steph, because Wow Wednesday is really, really on point. And I don't think there's a better way to get through the middle of the week. All right? Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Already we have, you know, walked into the tail end of the week. Yes, so the second half of the week, we only got one more day in this work week. This week has really gone by quite fast. And we're here together. So, you know, let's get ourselves together, because we got some stuff to talk about. We really got some stuff to talk about. So let's get ourselves together for real. For real. Because, you know, I think you may want to get a pen. Because we got some stuff to talk about today regarding our health. Okay? Alrighty. So, come on. Let's take that quick break. Get that breakfast. Healthy breakfast, that is. Make sure you tell a friend. Make sure you text or call somebody and let them know that it's due time is on and we are rearing to go. And we can't wait to get back. We'll be right back.
The children who are at the most risk for being overweight or obese are those who have overweight or obese parents. Decreased access to a full-service grocery store, the perceived increased cost of cooking a healthy meal at home as opposed to picking something up at a fast food restaurant, and the lack of safe outdoor play areas all increase a child's risk of being overweight. Children have less time for physical activity in school than they used to, but even outside of school, children are getting less exercise. It used to be that 50% of students walked or rode their bikes to school. Now less than 15% do. Any child who doesn't get the recommended 1 hour of physical activity every day is at an increased risk for childhood obesity.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And, it's Therapeutic Thursday. Yes. God has been so gracious to us and has ushered us into a new day. And we're going to spend it together. So you may want to get your pens out because we've got to do a little talking about some stuff. Okay. So, yeah, I came across something that I thought was really interesting. Really interesting. Well, they say that these pain relievers, that we just have come to know and love, are responsible for high blood pressure. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is going to be some real, this one is going to be real quick. Okay. So, they say several common pain and anti-inflammatory medications that you can find at your local drugstore can cause users to retain water, which then creates kidney problems, and then it turns into increased blood pressure. Yes. Okay. And they want to remind us that the kidneys play an important role in regulating blood pressure. You know, this little kidney thing, yeah, it does a whole lot. Yeah, you keep hearing about all the things that the kidneys are responsible for. And I think next week, God spares, I want to do a little study on that. Okay. But more immediately, we want to talk about the pain relievers that are responsible for high blood pressure. Well, aspirin, naproxen sodium. Well, if you don't know that name, it also goes by the name Aleve. Mm-hmm. And ibuprofen. And we know ibuprofen as Advil and Motrin. Yeah. Okay. And they say they fall under the category of non-steroidal or steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. NSAIDs. Okay. And they say the other over-the-counter pain relievers, such as acetaminophen, such as Tylenol, is, you know, it's recommended, but definitely in moderation, especially for those who suffer with some type of kidney issue. All righty. So, you know, if you take these things, you know, on rare occasions, that's one thing, because that's definitely not going to feed your kidneys and high blood pressure, but definitely if you take them on a regular basis. So if you're taking these things on a regular basis, that means that there's some underlying issue that's causing you to run to the medicine cabinet. So if you have that bottle of anything, acetaminophen, Tylenol, that is, any type of ibuprofen or aspirin, anything, that needs to last you like forever. Okay? So I definitely wanted to let you know that that's what they're saying about those type things. So please do not make it a habit of taking those particular over-the-counter medicines. All right. So keep that pen up, because I have a list here, which is a real interesting list. I only looked at the first couple of things, but I tell you, it's definitely worthy of a Thursday conversation with my D-Time crew. Because they say these harmless things, quote unquote harmless, will send you to the hospital. Okay? Number one, eye drops. Now, eye drops are not going to send you to the emergency room just for dropping them in your eyes. But they say if you ingest them, now we all know what ingest means, right? That means if you swallow them, if you drink eye drops. Why people would ingest eye drops, I don't know. But you know what? They got all kind of stupid TikTok this and all of that. And if you remember, we did a news story, a couple of news stories, where people were putting eye drops in other people's beverages to kill them. Yeah, so they must have heard of something before we did. Yeah. Okay. Acetaminophen. On the list. Okay. And they're saying that in large doses, it can cause liver problems. You know, everybody, you know, at one point I was hearing people say, don't take Tylenol, stop taking that Tylenol. And I'm like, well, why? Well, people don't give you all of the information. It's not to say that taking acetaminophen or Tylenol, period, but again, in large doses, all right, causes liver damage. Not only gives you high blood pressure, but causes liver damage. Okay? They say wet rice noodles. Now, I'm trying to figure this one out. They say this one is going to send you to the emergency room. Well, they say that those noodles can be fermented, and that will carry some bacteria, and it may, that bacteria carries the acid in your stomach, and it may cause you to face liver failure. Yeah, that's like some domino effect thing, yeah. So I don't know, just stay away from the wet rice noodles, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Botox. Yeah. Botox. Well, we all know, you know, who uses this Botox on their face and all kind of things. And they're saying that too much Botox can travel to the muscles that control breathing and swallowing. And it can make you paralyzed. Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. Cough syrup. Yeah. They say any cough syrup that contains the active ingredient, okay, dextromethorphan. Let's spell it. Get that pen out. dextromethorphan, it can be dangerous, okay? And they say that, again, don't overdose on this stuff here. And they're saying that if your cough syrup has this ingredient, then you really got to be very careful of how you take it. You know, sometimes people just take cough syrup. Well, some cough syrups are so quote-unquote weak that it really won't bother you, okay? But if it contains that ingredient, yeah, you definitely don't want to be taking that on a regular basis, okay? All right. Castor oil. Yes. Castor oil. Well, they say castor oil is vegetable oil, which often is used in soaps, laxatives, paint, and perfume. Ooh, it's made of castor beans. And castor beans can't be eaten raw. No. They say you cannot eat it raw. So you have to make sure that castor oil is properly distilled, or it can be fatal. So watch your castor oil ingestion. Wow. Okay. Potatoes that are left unattended for weeks can send you to the hospital. So they say if your potatoes have fingers growing out of them, you should probably clean out your pantry. Yeah. They say it's really not good to eat potatoes that have a lot of these things. Well, I need to be dead. Oh, my gosh. Oh, let me tell you. I just got finished eating a bunch of potatoes that had a whole bunch of them things sticking out. Yeah. Oh, Stephanie. Yeah, so they say get rid of them. And they say don't even bother to cook them. They say cooking won't help. Okay. They say don't eat them. Oh, my gosh. Oh, oh, oh. I'm just getting a hit from somebody through the text that says, yeah, they eat those too. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to give this to you too because I don't know what you're doing. Genital desensitizers. Okay. They say genital desensitizers are sprays, creams, or wipes that you use on your external genitalia to numb sexual sensation. And, yeah, I got to read because I don't know what you're doing to stay, you know, like not in the fornication area. Don't use it. Don't use it. Okay? Don't use it. Don't use it. Ah, what else is on this list? Oh, my goodness. I'm, like, twisted right now. Okay. They say, laundry detergent pods. Yeah. Do you use those? I don't even bother to use those things. I've never used those things. Well, you know, don't eat them. It's just that cut and dry. Don't eat them. Now, clearly, I keep telling y'all, if stuff ends up on a list, that means that somebody did something. Now, you may not know the individual or the individuals, but somebody did something. They said some people have been known for chowing down on the detergent pods, according to some consumer reports, and 8 recorded deaths. 8. What 8 stupid people? I'm sorry. Just plain dumb. Now, I know I ate the potatoes with all the stuff going on them, but I figure if you break them off and watch, you'll be all right. Well, I guess it's just as dangerous to eat that as it is to eat the laundry detergent pods. Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness gracious. So don't eat the detergent pods. All right. Keep writing. Tea tree oil. All right. And they want to remind you that tea tree oil needs to be used on your hair or your skin. Please do not drink it. Okay. They say if you drink it, it will cause vomiting and hallucinations and sometimes even will make you comatose. Okay? So that's proven. All right? Wow. So let me just go over these quick things that will send you to the hospital. Don't drink the eye drops. Don't take too much acetaminophen. Watch how you eat the rice noodles. Don't get too much Botox. Please do not overdrink the cough syrup. I know you used to drink castor oil, but be very careful of the castor oil. Don't eat the potatoes that have the things growing out of them. Throw them in the garbage. And watch your genitalia desensitizers. Don't eat your laundry detergent pods, and please do not drink the tea tree oil. That's what it boils down to, y'all. I mean, come on. That's what it boils down. My This phone is chirping like crazy. I can't even imagine the conversation that must be going on in this group text. But, yeah, that was some information. Wow. Okay. Well, what are we talking about in the news today? Well, I got some old news. It's not like real current news. I had this news from before, but I never talked about it. There in Singapore, yeah, we've been talking about a lot of Singapore news. In Singapore, there was a woman, an older woman, and her son-in-law was convicted of molesting an 8-year-old little girl who was a neighbor. And for some reason, this elderly mother-in-law decided to harass the girl's mother, who was molested, by making lewd remarks suggesting that the little girl knew how to look for men. And I guess they're really not playing, because 76-year-old Singapore old lady was fined $2,000 after she pleaded guilty to a charge of making the comments in Mandarin and causing distress to the victim. So here's how the story goes. They say that the son-in-law, on one occasion in 2017, went over to the girl's house to fix a water heater, and he later showed the girl an obscene photograph and video before molesting her. A few months later, the man went molested the girl again, and this time he lied to his wife that he needed to go to work. He then dropped the wife off. He dropped the wife off, but instead of him going to work, he went to the girl's house and watched pornography with her, and then molested her in her bedroom. Now this man was sentenced to 4 years in jail and 9 strokes of a cane. And that, so they took care of him. Well, while he's up in jail, the 76-year-old mother-in-law is now harassing the little girl's mother as she's doing, you know, her little yard work. And she was doing like some squat motion and gestured at her personal private parts and said that only 8-year-olds watch this kind of film. And, you know, I see what goes on with your daughter. Yeah, I see what goes on with your daughter. And was just making all this kind of lewd gesture and remarks. Now, they say that she could have been fined up to $5,000 and went to jail for 6 months, but instead she just got the $2,000 fine. Well, I'm sorry. She needs to go to jail for mental distress. Who are you? It's your son-in-law who's a freak and pervert, and you are now harassing. What in the world is wrong with these people? Nah, she need to go to jail. I'm sorry. They said she could have received $5,000 fine and 6 months in jail. She should have been in the cell right next to the son-in-law, to the nasty son-in-law. Now, here's my thing. You're the mother-in-law. Now, do you ever consider that your daughter may have been embarrassed because of what her husband did? Because this is intentional stuff. This ain't no oops, I made a mistake. The first time it says that he sat and showed her some pornography, or was that the second time? One of them times he showed pornography. But the other time, yeah, that was the second time. But my thing is, that's the time when he deliberately lied and said that he was going to work, dropped the wife off, and backed to the house, watched the pornography, and molested the little girl in the room. The first time he was supposed to be working on a water heater. and you are standing in somebody's yard or next to somebody's yard making sexuals, and she's nasty herself, send her to jail. I don't care if you're 76 years old. Go to jail with your nasty son-in-law. What's the matter with these people? I'm so sick of these people. I don't know what to do. I am so sick of these people. I don't know what to do. Like, this family has not suffered enough. Because the little girl, remember now, this is the second time. And, you know, this is something that's mentally stressful. You know, that you trust these people, and now this is what they do. You know, this is probably a single mother, because it doesn't mention a father, who needed help. A single mother who needed help with a water heater, and you're supposed to be over there taking care of one thing, you over there taking care of some other stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you. These people are sick. All right, well, we got some more sick news. You've got this pervert who dressed like a woman so he could take pictures in the ladies' bathroom with a camera. So he's an Amazon delivery driver. And he dressed up as a woman, went into the mall, the bathroom mall in Massachusetts, and disguising himself as this woman, attached a pen camera to his sneakers and filmed the women going to the bathroom. 23-year-old Jacob was arrested on 12 counts of possession of child pornography after the police found a series of videos of nude or partially nude victims as young as 8 years old on his phone. So he's initially from Rhode Island. And again, he was initially arrested when they caught him in the bathroom in the strip mall. And after they started checking his phone, that's when they found all the other pictures. Wow. Well, here's what really got him messed up. So after he put this wig on and this dress and all of this kind of stuff, he went into the stall, the bathroom stall, next to a group of women and girls who were around 12 to 15 years old. So you see how this stuff? You don't shake this stuff. So he went into the bathroom to take pictures of females, but look at who he was taking pictures of, because that's his MO. He's a pedophile. Man, I tell you. They say that they got this search warrant for his vehicle and his cell phone, and that's how they picked up all of this other stuff. And it's really, you know, how many times do you see on TV they go for one thing and then they stumble on another thing? Yeah. Wow. I tell you. Well, how many of you have seen the movie Paid in Full? Well, I don't know if you know this, but that was a true story. Yeah, that was a true story. Really happened here in New York. And the one that Cameron, the character that Cameron played, his real name was Alberto Alpo. His nickname was Alpo Martinez. And they say he was really notorious in the drug business. And he was one who just went back and forth from D.C. to New York. And he really picked up a lot of enemies. I'm going to just make a long story short, picked up a lot of enemies along the way. And when he got caught, he ended up, at first he wouldn't talk. And then after a while, he actually did rat out some of the other players. Well, he, as bad as he was, remember in the movie, as bad as he was, he ended up having to go into witness protection. And he's been in witness protection for all these years. Well, there was a shooting that took place in Harlem the other day. And when they got to the car of the victim, it was, they didn't realize that it was him. Yes, it was him. He was gasping for air. They found bullet holes in the side of the car. This was overnight, like 3 o'clock in the morning. And, I mean, not that they wouldn't have done anything, but just remember now, he's not supposed to be here in New York, because if you're under witness protection, yeah, you're supposed to be out of the way, out of sight, out of mind. Well, they say that he had been shot 6 times between the chest and the arm. And they rushed him to Harlem Hospital, but he died. He ended up dying. He was 55 years old. And they say that he has been in Maine all this time. And they found an identification card with the name Abraham Rodriguez. And this is where he had been living, in Maine. And, ooh, they don't know why he was back here. And he returned to this area only to meet his death. And this is why they always say, you know, when you go away, stay away. They don't want you to contact any of your family. They don't want you to, you know, travel back and forth. You don't need to be making any appearances or anything like that, because people don't forget. People do not forget. Now, he's had some enemies here for quite some time. And, yeah, well, they surely didn't forget, because he hasn't been here for that long. They said it looks like he made a trip here. Doesn't look like he's been here, like spending some time here or relocated or for somebody else. No, he made a trip here, and that trip, he's dead. He's dead. Well, the one who played Mekhi Phifer, the character he played, well, his family could care less. Yeah, they have his nieces, his family, making statements, and they said that, you know what, every dog has his day. It was about time. And they said that they're not losing any sleep. Oh well. And it's the family of Rich Porter, that's the name of the person, that the real name that Mekhi Phifer's character was. And they're like, well, now we can sleep. Yep. They're like, now we can sleep. Because, you know, everything has been taken care of. They were really upset that, you know, he had killed. Remember now, not only did he kill the friend, Mekhi Phifer's character, he also, they say, you know, was doing some other stuff. And, you know, the uncle supposedly killed the little nephew. But, yeah, they really just did not appreciate. They really took that hard. They said, because that was supposed to be a friend. You know, y'all did this together, that together. And, well, he's dead. They don't care. And it's like, oh, well, oh, well. You know what? It happens. So, you know, it's like, you know, you don't listen. When you do your stuff, people do not forget. They don't forget. They ain't living by the creed, you know. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. They don't care. they do not care. So now the son concerned about his life. Yes, because he says that he doesn't think that they're going to stop. Well, if he's been here, they probably would have killed him a long time ago. But he feels that now that that has actually come up, that now they're not going to stop until they get to him. So hopefully not. Hopefully not. Hopefully they were just looking to, you know, take care of the dad, and that's it. But, yeah, he's now a goner. He's now a goner. Oh, wow. It's about that time that we talk to the Due Time crew before we have our conversation. So let's say good morning to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, triggity chop of the morning. Oh, yeah. Good morning, Pastor Steph.
Al coming.
Hey. Hey, hey, Brother Al. We got some news to talk about, Chop Chop of the Morning. Well, let's talk about this woman, this 76-year-old woman over in Singapore, whose son-in-law was convicted and sentenced to jail for molesting the 8-year-old female neighbor. And instead of her minding her business and staying quiet, she's harassing the little girl's mother by standing in her own yard making gestures and talking about the little girl and how she knows that she looks for men and all of this kind of stuff. Now, despite the fact that the man went over in her house and molested her, but this is how the little 8-year-old looks for men. She's been sentenced. She's been fined $2,000. I say she needed to go to jail. I'm sorry. What do you say?
Well, I missed majority of the story. I kind of came in on the end part, so I'm not really too sure about the story.
I just gave you the story, Brother Al. Were you listening?
Oh, you get more? Okay, no. I thought you. Take it easy. How you talk to me? Okay. So.
Pays attention in school. That was the story in a nutshell.
Who was molested
by the neighbor. The first time the neighbor went in the house, he was supposed to be there to fix a boiler or hot water heater. And he ended up somehow, you know, in the little girl's room and molesting her. He showed her some obscene photo and video, and then he ended up molesting her. A couple months later, he went back over there after he told the wife he was going to work. He drops the wife off to work, but instead of him going to work, he goes back to the little girl's house. They watch pornography, and then he molests her in her bedroom. He's now sentenced to 4 years and some strokes, 9 strokes of a cane. Well, while he was serving jail, his 76-year-old mother-in-law is standing in her yard, which is next to the neighbor where her son-in-law molested the little girl, and she's making sexual gestures with her own private parts and saying that the 8-year-old girl watches films already at 8 years old, and she sees the kind of men that the little girl is after, and the little girl will go find men and all of this kind of stuff. And they fined her for harassment $2,000. And I said she should go to jail herself. How is your son-in-law finding his way into this little girl's bedroom not once but twice and molest and has been charged, convicted, and is now sentenced and serving time for molesting her, but you are standing over in the yard harassing the little girl's mother? Have they not suffered enough that you need to be standing over there with your old self doing this nasty stuff? She should go to jail. Now, that's the story, Brother Al. What should happen to her?
Got it. Oh, my God. Number one, first of all, he should be doing more time than some doggone 4 years. That's number one. Not only did you molested her, that's statutory rape as well. So he should be doing more time than that. And from listening to the story, it sounds like it's on the other side of the fence, because I know on our side, you ain't going to be in no yard rubbing it in my face. So you ain't going to be in the next yard rubbing that all in my face. So that sounds like the other side of the fence. But, yeah, she should too. Like, basically what you're saying, you condone what happened. Because you sitting there talking about, oh, this little girl, this, and that. Even if this little girl is watching some pornography, okay, that means this little girl got some issues going on that need to be resolved, need to be addressed, all right? You making excuses for this man, and he went out there and grown man molested an 8-year-old child. So she's sick in the head. She should go to jail, too. You know what? Me and you said that you can go join him as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, because that's what I said. She needs to be in the cell next to him. Since you think it's fine what he did,
exactly.
You need to be in the cell next to him. Y'all have a gesture. That's right. Y'all gesture one another's private parts together, back and forth. Just have a ball. Have a ball.
Yep.
The other story where the pervert, another pervert, dresses up as a woman, puts his wig and dress on, goes in the bathroom, puts a little pen camera on his sneaker, and he films and takes pictures of the women in the bathroom, and come to find out that they're also, again, another set of young girls. Well, when they did a search of the phone, they said that they have 12 counts of possession of child pornography in his phone. And the victims were as young as 8 years old. So this is another one
who
is now out, watching out for the little girls on his phone. You that desperate? Instead of driving your Amazon truck, you out driving the pen on your sneaker up in the ladies' bathroom. What should happen to him, Brother Al?
They should take a shovel, dig up the jail, put him under it, and put the dirt back on it. Like, are you serious? Like, oh my God, like, we see what's happening. This is why we need Jesus. This is why. I mean, that's insane. You're going in there taking pictures and filming little girls. Like, what is wrong with you? He need to be fired from his job, and he need to be put in jail, put on the list as a sex offender, all that stuff. Everything that can happen, it should happen to him. That's crazy.
Mm-mm. Yeah, these people are going buck wild. Well, I'm sure you've seen the movie Paid in Full.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So Cameron's character is now officially dead in real life, as he was in the witness protection program for ratting out all of the people who he was involved in the drug business with, and they put him out on in the witness protection program out in Maine. Well, for whatever the reason is, after all those years of being out there in Maine, he decided to visit Harlem again, only to be murdered in the middle of the night in his car. And the family of Rich Porter, Mekhi Phifer's character, they said they could care less. Good for him. Every dog has his day. Now they can sleep at night. What's your thought?
Man, I did see that movie a while back, and I did realize that it was a true story. And, again, it comes back to you. You're not going to just do so much evil and think you're going to live a prosperous life. You got God nowhere in the picture of this, so you unprotected right there alone because you ain't got God in your life. So you just out there freelancing now with no coverage. And, you know, and again, like I said, for the movie, this supposed to be in your boy. So you turned on him, you killed him, and then his son got killed as well. And you can imagine the family of their pain for all these years that they dealt with that, not knowing where he was at or what was going on, you know. And so the family's like, okay, he gone good. You know, me personally, I wouldn't be saying good, you know, for somebody dying, but I do understand. You know, you killed the family member and the child at that. You know, so, and like I said, it comes back, you know, and he couldn't stay away. And most of them can't. When they was running a certain area and they've been gone for so long, like he was under an alias and, you know, and it was an itch. It was an urge. Man, I got to get back to Harlem, man. Just take a look and see how things are. And what happened? You came back and they were waiting for you because, like you said, they don't forget. Snitches don't get forgotten. So, yeah.
Yep. Now, remember, it wasn't him who killed the nephew. It was the uncle who killed the nephew.
Right, it was the uncle, yeah.
He was only responsible for killing, you know, Porter, but not the little
right.
boy. Yeah, so it you know, just stay away. Just stay away. Thank you, Brother Al, you know, hanging out with us today. We'll be back to talk about some more stuff. But you sit tight while we talk to Pastor KL. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. How is everyone today?
I am well, thank you. I'm well. Okay, so did you hear about the woman in Singapore with the son-in-law? Did you hear about that story?
I just heard the last two that Al just talked about.
Okay, so that was a pervert who was caught dressed up as a woman in the Massachusetts Mall bathroom, pretending like he was a woman, but actually in there taking pictures of the women. And it was like they said the 14 and 15-year-old girl was on his camera. And when they got a search warrant for his phone, they found that he had pictures of children in the nude and videos of children in the partially nude as young as 8 years old on his phone. So he's faced with 12 counts of possession of child pornography. Your thought? What should happen
to him? This is another case. This is why Big Bubba is so prevalent in the system. You know, he's one of the teachers. You know, you have to go through Big Bubba. You know, people don't appreciate, you know, perverts and child molestation and, you know, stuff like that. I think that he should be introduced to Big Bubba, and Big Bubba should take him around. You know, he should show them the jails and, you know, the different areas where there's no camera. You know, he should just be seen. You know, he likes to use cameras. He should be shown the places where there are no cameras. And this can happen to you.
I think the last time we talked about something, it was you and Big Bubba
suggestion. Big Bubba, a friend of mine. He a friend of mine. We write all day. You know, we pen pal each other. I let him know when, you know, somebody new coming in. You know, we kind of close.
Yeah, you and Big Bubba, you got a nice little relationship there. He's really waiting for you. The people to arrive in the system.
Yeah, that's right. He's the welcome committee. The welcome committee, you know, when they come in, he's the welcome committee.
No. What kind of time should he get if you had your way?
Well, to be honest with you, he should get a long time. But I think if he stayed in there with Big Bubba, he ain't getting out alive.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's
so,
why
I mean,
you keep
sending
him,
time you give him
to Big Bubba.
Whatever time you give him, he's not gonna serve it through.
Okay. Is that the angle?
Yeah. Now I did hear about that lady in the yard. If that's who you're talking about.
Yes, the lady in the yard. Now should she be visiting Big Bubba too?
Well, you know, Big Bubba had a girlfriend named Big Shirley. You know what I mean? And then my thing is that you're 75 years old, you know, with air pollution. Because now you dusting that stuff, you know, you patting yourself and all the dust is falling out all over the place. You know, you should go to jail for that, too. You know, there's got to be some kind of pollution going on. So, I mean, you go to jail for two different reasons.
Oh my goodness gracious! I can't.
You know,
but that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Crazy. You know why?
And
are
then this is what you created. You created a son like that. So I mean, it doesn't really shock me that you're like that. You know, the apple sometimes don't fall too far from the tree. You know what I mean?
This is a son-in-law. This is a son-in-law now.
Oh, son-in-law. Okay. Well, yeah. Same. Listen, you dusty. You know, the dusty has clouded your brain.
What time should she have gotten? Okay, so they say she could have gotten 6 months in jail for what she did, as well as a $5,000 fine, but she only got $2,000 fine. What kind of jail? What should have happened to her?
I mean, again, you know, you're to me that's harassment. You know that first of all. So I mean, I think you should have got a little bit more time than that. I'd give you at least 5 years. You know, you did 4 years for harassment. You know, 1 year for pollution. You know what I mean? I mean, just no one wants to see that cloud of smoke. You know, I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
Oh,
especially
God.
In New York. New York got its own pollution. Now you're going to add funk to it. You know what I mean?
Don't we have enough rats? This is Singapore.
Okay, all right. Where they eat cats. How strange is that? You know, you know yourself where they eat cats.
You know, well, only your head. All right, so we're talking about Alberto Alpo Martinez. You know, he returns to the scene of Harlem after being away for quite a few years out, you know, under an alias in Maine under the Witness Protection Program. And, you know, he's ratted out the drug dealers. And now he returns only to find his death almost immediately. They say he wasn't living here, but they don't know why he was back here. Did you see Paid in Full?
No, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness. What kind of black man are you?
I just watch Christian movies, you know. Why did I get married? You know what I mean? I can do bad all by myself. You know, stuff like that.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Home Alone.
Oh. You know what? Conversation straight up. Probably Tamika ain't seen Paid in Full either, because she the one talking about she don't look at movies. So we got a short conversation. And as a matter of fact, Pastor Charlotte probably ain't seen this movie either. Only me, Al, and my girl Shanti have seen this movie.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. We'll be back to talk to you in a little bit, Pastor KL. Let's move on to Pastor Charlotte and see what she's got to say about the first two stories. And thanks for joining us today.
Yes,
Pastor Charlotte. Good morning. Well, we only got two stories to talk about. So, number one, the Singapore 76-year-old woman who's harassing her neighbors, you know, after her son-in-law was convicted of molestation of the very people she's harassing. What do you think her sentence should have been instead of $2,000 fine?
Well, I thought that, yes, she should go to jail, and she should do show and tell to Big Shirley since she wants to dance a little bit. That was my thought, and she can go on in there. Yeah, I'm with Big Shirley, too. Yes. And that she's going to either... She might not live for 5 years, as Pastor KL said. We don't know because she old. So you never know. She get up in there and she got to stay for a little while. You know, her heart might, you know, you don't know what might happen to her.
Wow.
You don't know. And by being the mother-in-law, my thought was that did the son-in-law and her have conversation and she already knew that he was doing this kind of stuff and she was okay with it? There's that conspiracy theory, Pastor Charlotte. All right now. Maybe she
You know what? I'm done. Oh, my goodness gracious. She said maybe the mother tried to show him a little short time. You know, my thought was it not enough that the daughter might already be embarrassed by what the son-in-law did and you out here acting up? You know, come on. You show your face?
Right. But then if your mother's like that and then your husband's like that, are you trying to not see? Are you trying to, you know, something ain't right? Because, you know, you want to think about it. What did I miss? Did I miss something? There's red flags. We talk about red flags a lot. It could have been some red flags, you know, for the mother to do, her mother to do it too. Mm-hmm. Something ain't right. She must have went to work just a bit too much.
Wow. Something to think about, Pastor Charlotte. Something to think about. Well, what about the pervert who's dressing up as a woman? You know, going to the bathroom and he's ultimately taking pictures and stuff. What's going on? What kind of time should he get?
Oh, well, he ain't coming out. He needs to go on in there. And, you know, I remember there was on the news at one time where they were showing that there was people that was putting little cameras in the bathroom inside the toilet, and when the females go to the bathroom and they can see it at their house. This was back. I forgot how long ago. We done been in COVID, so but before COVID, I'll say that. And they showed how they bust this guy, and he had like different cameras in his household, and how when the females go to the bathroom, he was an employee. And he was able to film them. That was my thought of that. And then I thought about, too, it's time for Depends is about to make, is necessary. They're about to make some money because these little girls need to just put a Depends on. Don't go to the bathroom until you get home, baby.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I got to mess up my bladder. Oh, somebody watching me in the bathroom. Oh, my goodness gracious. This is crazy.
You got to think about it too, because nowadays by them changing and everybody's going to be able to go into the same bathroom, you know, you don't know who in the bathroom with you, because sometimes you'll be in the bathroom. If everybody think about it, have you ever been in the bathroom and it's supposed to be a woman but it don't look like one? You don't know who's in the store with you. Something to think about.
Well, who's in the bathroom with you? I hope ain't nobody in the stall with you, bro.
Well, you know, next to the stall, you know what I mean. You're right.
Oh, my goodness.
Next to the...
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Hey, well, you know what? You have definitely given us something to think about today. A new faith over fear, Pastor Charlotte. Thank you so much. We'll be back to continue another conversation with you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Where is my girl, Tamika? Good morning, Tamika.
Good AM. Happy Thursday to you.
Well, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good. Very good. All right. So we got the Singapore woman, 76 years old, harassing the little girl's mother who was molested. I want to know what kind of time should she have gotten, or should she have gotten time? Was that $2,000 fine enough?
No, $2,000 is not enough, especially when you don't have any reprimand for your son-in-law. You know, instead of you trying to reprimand him, you going to the child's mother. How dare you? You know, even if that child had some type of, concern or issue that she, that's something that she does, nobody's thinking about the child. Everybody's thinking about their own agenda. That child needs some therapy, whether this gentleman was the first one that introduced that type of thing to her life or whether she had exposure. Let's focus on the child, you know. So grandma need to go somewhere and sit down. I'll volunteer to get a cane. You know, the son is going to get caned 9 times. Let's just get one good tap so you can, you know, shut your mouth at that point. You'll be seated if you know, for quite a while.
Mm. Well, you say cane grandma. All right, cane grandma. One good time? That's still kind of mild. What about the pervert?
Well, I mean, she's 75, so.
Oh, she's 75, so give her some leniency. Listen, she was over there squatting. She don't need no leniency. She remember how to squat.
Well, she might stay in that position. We're not sure.
Well, she didn't go to court in that position when they gave her that $2,000 fine. So she all right. She all right. What about the pervert in the bathroom? What kind of, you know, he's found to have pictures, not only the pictures that he just took, but the pictures of other children as young as 8 years old in his phone. 12 counts of child pornography. What kind of time should he be getting?
Well, you know, it makes me think of, I mean, you are really, really sick. Because you, first of all, you dressed as a woman to do it and then went into the restroom. I remember being in high school, you know, a lot of us, we were wearing skirts, but we were wearing shorts underneath our skirts because back then guys used to put mirrors on their sneakers. And so when you're standing at your locker, they stick their feet between your legs. And I was like, you big dummy, you're only going to see shorts. That's all you're ever going to see, you know, because I mean, you know, really, you going that low. So I feel like since we've got pictures of every child, you spend time in jail, and for every month that you're in there, the father of that daughter can come visit you for that whole month, every day of the month. So every day, however many pictures you took, every father can come into that jail and do whatever they want in the area where there's no cameras. You just have a one-on-one with that father for a month. So if you got a father who really, really, and daddies are serious about their daughter, you got a father that really, 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 really loves his daughter, let him spend time with you one-on-one. We ain't worried about Bubba because Bubba got one way, but a daddy and his daughter, that's a totally different story. Let's spend a one-on-one. Let's do a one-on-one with that.
Wow, y'all some kind of church people. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. If you coming up with this, I hate to hear what Shanti's got on her brain. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, thank you, Tamika, for sharing that piece of a suggestion with us. And we'll be back to chat. Oh, my. All right, let's talk to Shanti. Woo-wee. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
All righty. So we're talking about the Singapore grandma. $2,000 for all that she did on more than one occasion. Is that the fine that she should have received?
No, she should get slapped for each squat she did. That is, like, who would even think to do that? Whether she was 75 or 35, who would think to do that to the victim's mother? That's just, she was probably sleeping with the son.
Oh.
I really don't see any other explanation. Like, I can't imagine, you know, I have a first cousin who we grew up like sister and brother, and I, God forbid, I was to hear something like that about him. And I'm going to the person, whether it was a little girl or older woman, let's say the woman was our age. And I couldn't see myself going and doing nothing like that. Like, what kind of mess is that? That's beyond twisted.
Wow. All right. What about the guy in the strip mall dressing up as a woman with a camera on his shoe? 12
count of child pornography with a child as young as 8 years old in his phone. What should be his sentence?
He should. I can't say that. This is a Christian talk show. He just needs to get locked up forever and ever. Amen. This is what happens when they make the cable bills too high. People can't afford cable no more. Now they out trying to make their own series. And you went and bought women's clothes, or you stole somebody's clothes, and you got you just need to be locked up. Just go and sit in the mess hall and enjoy the lunch and fight for TV time with the other inmates. It's the whole, oh my gosh. Yeah, he just needs to be locked up.
Oh my goodness gracious. Well, listen, we now have Alberto Alpo Martinez, you know, came in full skirt. You know, he ratted out his people, and, you know, he's been away all this time. You come back for a brief moment, and you never make it out to her. What are you doing back here? Stay away. And the family of Porter is like, we don't care. Long time coming. We don't feel sorry for him. Every dog has his day. Oh well, oh well. What you doing?
People get shot every baby.
No. Where you at, Brother Al? Where you at, Brother Al?
You're sorry, baby. Only if you've watched that movie over and over and over will you appreciate that line, and
That's
he lived by that line. We get shot every day. If you have to be in witness protection all these years, what years been paid in full come out? The early 2000s, late 90s? If you've been in witness, but you've had to hide all these years, how you think you could come back to Harlem to go to the bodega and make it out without getting a pinky toe shot off? Like, come on, yo, you snitch. And just like Brother Al said, you will never be forgotten, especially because you were so loud. He was so loud. He was so loud and flashing out there. He's already an unforgettable person. Now you done finally snitch. You thought you was going to come back here and do what? Get some Chinese food and go back into hiding? Like, what was the point?
But you know what's funny? His, you know, Porter's family could have been after him. That's how stupid he was.
Right. Right. You killed that man. You killed him. So, like you said, they're still looking for you because there was no justice there. And then you still have to pay for the other son who you didn't have anything to do with his death. But because they still mad about that, you gonna get that too. As I say, if you had to be in hiding all these years, what did you think was gonna happen when you went back?
And
he probably posted it somewhere.
But you know what? Not only that, he's probably one who, had he been on set, and it was somebody else, he would have done the same thing.
Of course. That's what I say. He was too loud. He was too loud. He was too flashy. He was too out there. And you came back and you thought you were going to tiptoe back in here. I would have loved to know what his reasons for being back in Harlem were. Like, what?
Wow.
Man.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I got a question about this story.
Oh,
why?
No, I mean, since he knew the rule of the game, don't you think it was suicide? Could he have been depressed and knew that if he came back, he's going to get killed? Could he have wanted to die?
Nah.
Who does that when you know the rule of the game?
Well, if you lived in Maine for all these years, that might be... That
would have depressed me by myself.
That's what I'm saying. You know, living in Maine, you from the hood, and now they got you out in Maine. So you never know. You never know. Because, you know, I agree with you. You know, that's why I just said to Shanti, you know, listen, yo, you would have done that had you had somebody who ratted on you you being who you are. What was his name in the story? What was his name?
Rico.
Rico, right. So Rico, ain't nowhere in the world Rico would have let somebody come back in the hood and you would have been rolling. Like nothing happened. Like, so like you said, he knew the rules of the game. So you know what? That sounds like a Pastor Charlotte angle. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. It's like, you know, you don't care no more. You know what? Opposed to killing myself, I'll go back and, you know, I'll make my last little, you know, presentation, my last little move, and I'm out of here. You don't know. You actually don't know. Because that, to me, was dumb. That, to me, was dumb. You know that you would not have allowed that person for 2 minutes to roll back up in here.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't allow that person for 2 minutes. What do you think, Brother Al?
I'm here. No, the kids are already off the bus. Thank you very much.
What do you think about that anger that Pastor KL brought up?
I think that could be a possibility because, again, you know, he's out. You know, he was used to being the man. Like, everybody knew this dude. Like, he was the man. And now you out in Maine somewhere under a different name. Nobody know you. You ain't got no money. You got to get a regular job. That could be he got depressed. You know, I'm going to go on back to the hood, and whatever happens, happens. So that could be a possibility.
Yeah. That's a thought. That's a thought, Pastor KL. You just don't know because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. No matter how long, you know, how long it's been, the rules are still the rules.
Right.
You know, it ain't like the rules ain't falling off because you 55. The rules ain't falling off.
See, but you got to remember his last line. His last line was, "It don't matter because when I come back, I'm still going to be the king." That was his thought. He still can roll up in here, and they was going to show him love somewhere, and they did. They showed him a whole lot of love.
Wow. We got a comment from the listener. Well, what's the listener saying, Shanti?
Okay, so we got a couple of comments. First one is regarding the grandma who was dropping it low. Listener sent in. Wow, that's gross. Instead of you feeling sympathy for the girl and her family, you want to go and defend and avenge the son-in-law by bullying and harassing the family. She must have wanted him and was jealous of the little girl. See? I'm not alone in the thought. Okay,
wow.
I'm sorry, it's an extension of that one. She should have gotten the max fine and max time, and then her outside time while in prison should include people walking by taunting her and mimicking her lewd dance moves like she did to the girl's mother.
Wow.
And then we got another comment. Still with that story. That fine wasn't enough. It should have been more. I feel like that was a slap on the wrist. She could easily pay that in one shot, just go in her pockets and pay that. She should have had to pay about $100,000.
Wow. Make a pay with the pocket. Wow. All right. Well, listeners, thank you so much for your contribution. You know, I want to talk about sweet justice. You know, we know that the Bible says, you know, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And we're talking about the two perverts, a mother-in-law, who's also a pervert as far as I'm concerned. And we're talking about Alpo Martinez, who returns to the scene, quote-unquote, the scene of the crime. And now, you know, someone says that this is sweet justice. You know, what's your thought? You know, when we're living a Christian life and we can't subscribe, or we shouldn't subscribe to those things, you know, but how do you get earthly, I don't want to say vengeance, but justice, That's the word I want to use. I started over justice. Dr. Kale, well, you know, what do you say? How do you get earthly justice when you're dealing with all of this kind of lifestyle?
Well, I mean, if you go biblical, you know, first of all, you reap what you sow. And it may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. You know, but you reap what you sow. You know, and then you just got to believe that God, you know, he doesn't make mistakes. And he hears your cries. You know, he that lived by the sword would die by the sword. You know, the old folks with me growing up used to say that snitches get stitches. You know, and that was almost, you know, the streets Bible verse. You know, you just got to believe that God is going to take care of it. You know, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. That's what they say. You know, that's what the word says. So you got to believe, you got to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. And unfortunately, because it doesn't come in the time that you want it to come, you think that God has forgotten. But God has not forgotten. There's a time and there's a season for everything.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Pastor KL. Brother Al, you know, we know what the Bible says, but what does it say in our brains for earthly justice? You know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in these three stories all by themselves. Well, how do you, you know, mentally deal with all of this stuff here?
I would say mentally dealing with it is praying. Because, you know, it's easy for us to say, okay, you know what? The Bible says do this and do that. But when it hits home, when you got that person that murdered somebody you love, your child, you know, our earthly feeling starting to get involved. You know, our religious feeling, our spiritual feeling go out the window. And, you know, I've been a part of that when my cousin got killed. This other girl killed my cousin for no apparent reason. And, you know, you're trying to think the right way, like, okay, I want, you know, I know what God said, and I know it's going to happen, but when you're going through those emotions, you want it done now. Like, I want to see some justice right now. So it's definitely a tough battle. This is where your faith really gets tested, because that's a tough, tough battle right there.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, you know, again, you know, these three stories, you know, these are things that, you know, like you and Pastor KL always talk about, even in the jail system, you know, this behavior is just intolerable. You know, even the criminals are mad at some of the stuff that these people have been accused of. And, you know, what we always teeter on, you know, thoughts of human and carnal level. You know, but, you know, what comes to your head, you know, when you're like, okay, well, we need to get some earthly justice here.
I thought about when there was a story of a kid getting killed and how the family had went to him and was asking, forgave him and was praying for him. And I thought about myself of being there, because when we're not in it, you know, we can say whatever until, just like our brother Al said, until it really hits home. But us as Christians, we have to continue to pray and know that God will take care of it. We have to be able to cry it out to him of our hurt and our pain. Cry it out to him, you know, Lord, keep me so I won't think those thoughts, you know, because of the test. And that's the flesh. That's why we have to kill flesh daily. And in the mix of killing flesh daily and asking him for the strength, you know, because we don't, you know, we have to get to the place where that we're going to live for what God has told us to do in the Bible. So therefore, is it hard? Yes. Will it be hard? Yes. Because I always say, if somebody do something to mine, you know, and I say that,
But I'd be like, God, I really need you to help me. And sometimes a test will come to see how far that you are. For us as Christians, we have to pray. We have to come and be able to surround that family to lift them up during that time so where that the enemy won't come into their brain. And is it hard? Yes, it's hard. I'm going to keep saying that. Yes, it is hard because your heart, you know, we got to continue to keep our heart clean, continue to ask God to help us in those areas. Because I don't know what I would do. You know, I hope I would do the right thing. I'll say right now I would do the right thing on these two issues about my 8-year-old, well, my kids ain't little, so grandchildren, if someone came up, you know, upon them, you know, and tried to do something to them. Because of the title, we can't remember, you know, of the title that we carry, which is that we're for the kingdom of God. I'm talking about that title, of the kingdom of God and what we're preaching and what we're confessing and what we're teaching. We're hoping that when that time comes through, that all that we know, that we will stick to. And that's my prayer of us being able to hold on and be able to do that because we know that God will take care of it in his time, not in ours.
All righty. Lady Tamika, you know, we're talking about, you know, all enduring all of this behavior, and you know, we can't dictate what people will do, but we definitely, you know, have to deal with it. How does earthly justice fit into your head?
Well, I'm just crazy enough to believe that there is no situation, there is no circumstance, happenstance, area that God can't see and God doesn't know. Levels of hurt, you know, things that people do, you know, I'm sure the mother had to be traumatized by this 76-year-old woman after the fact that your son-in-law, you know, assaulted or molested my child. I've got to deal with the repercussions of that. Plus, now I'm being insulted for something that I had no idea was going on. Your son came into my home, you know, and there's so many other, this can go not just on that level, but so many different areas. I'm just crazy enough to believe that the God that created me and knows all about me, if I stay in tune with him and help, you know, ask him, God, please help me in this moment, you know, help me heal, you know, so that I can detach myself emotionally from that time frame so that you can handle it, so that when that person comes in my vicinity or I hear that person's name or I hear anything that's even similar, because realize that that has levels, you know. So just because something seems somewhat like that, I stray away from it. Help me in this moment so that I can heal, and then let me release from it so that you can handle it. Because when God does justice, or when God takes care of it, it's so much better, far greater, far grander than you can ever imagine. Yeah, I'm dealing with it right now, but God, help me deal with this moment so that I can release it to you. And when you handle it, ooh-wee, baby, tell you something.
Ooh, all right. Shanti, you have the final word today. And, you know, one who always has some, you know, you have the authentic thoughts and feelings. You know, what comes to your mind when you think about making that transition from earthly justice and godly justice?
My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. That's all I keep hearing in my head since you first asked the question. It's... It goes further than prayer. It also goes with having an open conversation with God, you know, really telling him the things that you may want to do, being very blunt with him so that he can wipe that away, you know, because when we take matters into our own hands, all we do is elevate the problems. We don't eliminate them. He's the only one who can eliminate the issue. And there's so many times, you know, even now we can sit here and say, oh, I will black on this one. I will go off. I kill this one. I slap this one. I do this. I do that. and then you'd be so amazed at the peace and how calm you feel, even when there's so much craziness going on around you and other people look at you like, you crazy, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. And a lot of times when you're not used to the peace, or when you're just so gung-ho about doing it your way, you'll push yourself past the peace that he's blessing you with, and you'll rile yourself up. And you just have to understand, like Lady Tamika said, you know, like, remember who you're serving. You know, remember who you belong to and what he's teaching. He's teaching us to be very different. And coming from someone who was very vindictive, you know, just understanding that you have what you feel, and he's always there willing to take on what you feel, and then you leave it with him. Walk off and let him deal with it the way he needs to deal with it. So it's just prayer, absolutely. You know, also just sitting there and just being very open with him, talking to him about it, and just feeling how he just calms you down.
All righty. Thank you so much. Thank you, my due time crew, for your words of wisdom and encouragement into a world of, you know, revenge. You know, how people want to get revenge and things like that. Thank you so much, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You too. Have a blessed one, everyone.
Thank you. All righty. Let me take care of this. You know, we are on a Thursday morning. You know, we have our latest segment. Pray for them. God, peace. What you got?
Okay, this morning, I think we should lift Stacey Dash. Anyone who does not know, she is a cousin of Damon Dash. She starred in Mo Money opposite of Damon Wayne. She starred in Clueless. I had no idea she struggled with drugs, painkillers mainly, for years. She grew up with both of her parents for the early part of her adolescence, and both of her parents were on drugs. Her father was a heroin addict, and her mother was on crack. And she said that the very first time she tried drugs, she was 8. Said when she was 16, her mother gave her her first line of cocaine.
Oh,
and she said that she did not remember, that she remembers being very angry. She remembers when she was a little girl, especially around the age of 10, she just started to be very angry. And it wasn't until she was 17 and tried to commit suicide that she remembered that at the age of 4, she was molested. So she had a really rough childhood. She was on painkillers, and she ended up getting clean, and she was clean for 20 years. She relapsed shortly then after her 20-year mark when she was prescribed Vicodin for her fibroid. I think she had a fibroid cyst. They prescribed it to her, and she said that she doesn't blame the doctor. She blamed herself because she noticed that she would be taking the Vicodin even when she didn't have any pain, physically, any physical pain, but she was still trying to numb emotional and mental pain, and the Vicodin would eliminate, you know, that pain and fill the voids and the holes and stuff that she was still feeling. So as of today, she is currently 5 years clean. She said that she was taking up to about 18 to 20 pills a day, and she was spending anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000 a month on pills. So her addiction really started to spiral out of control again, and, of course, started to mess her up financially and mentally, emotionally, everything all over again. And she gives a lot of credit to God. She's been speaking a lot, very open about God and how he has saved her, and, you know, thanking her support system for getting her into rehab that last time. And she said it wasn't until the last 10 days of her being in rehab that she really sat back and said, oh, snap, I'm an addict. You know, after all of that, after, you know, her being on pills initially and the last time. And, you know, really lifted her up in prayer because, again, you know, she was
you know, like the It Girl back in the 90s. She was one of the It Girls, very, very, very beautiful, very, very beautiful. And to not know, she said no one knew. No one had a clue that she was on pills, and she hid it very well. And she decided to, you know, write a book and come out with it because she really wanted to bring awareness to those who do not struggle with, because we all struggle with addiction some way, somehow. But those who don't struggle with drug addiction, how to have sympathy and empathy and show that compassion to those who are struggling with that. And she just really felt the need and the importance to share her story. Just lifting her up in prayer, just asking that God continues to hold her, that, you know, she feels herself getting ready to relapse or feels that she needs to fill any void or anything now that God has reintroduced himself to her, that she would use him to address whatever voids or pain or hurt, memories, anything. And, you know, that this would be a big message that, you know, to be open with at least one person. Because when you're able to hide a lot of the toxic things you're doing, look how long it goes on, if God allows it to go on that long. You know, God didn't have to allow her life, you know, to continue with that, but he did, so that she could now get to this point of recovery and now being able to help other people with her testimony. So just praying that God keeps her up and keeps her strong, and that he will continue to heal her while she has the genuine intention and desire to help to heal other people through the mistakes that she's made. And I'm not sure, I didn't hear anything about her parents passing, but praying that her parents see, you know, the journey that she went through, and if they're not clean, that they get clean and stay clean, and everyone, you know, surrounding her and attached to her, that they will now grab a hold, a piece of her healing and a piece of God.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's, boy, you don't know people's story.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know people. So we look at these entertainers and we make, you know, based on, you know, what the media puts out and what the media is aware of. We talk about it and we think about it and we assess it, and you, to think that at 8 years old, you know, was it at eight her mother gave her first line of drugs?
No, the first time she ever tried a drug was eight, but her mother gave her first line of cocaine when she was 16.
Good Lord. I have, and you can't run from the parents.
Uh-huh.
You can't have, you know, we're worried about, look at, we just got finished talking about, you know, the neighbor molested, you know, the family members, you know, but you can't even get away from the parents these days. The parents are the ones who are the first destroyers of life. And, you know, it's one thing, you know, we say, well, you know, hurt people. It's one thing to intentionally give your child drugs and things like this. And that's really something that, you know, we really have to think about, you know, these people who really go through this stuff and why they're so jacked up. Why they are so messed up. And, you know, just giving God thanks that, man, it's not us. God thinks that it's not us, you know. So let's take this time to hold hands and hold hearts for the life of Stacy Dash. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, because it could have been us. It could have been us with the listening. It could have been us who was the one molested and taunted later. It could have been the one, you know, we could have been the ones who was in somebody's telephone or in the bathroom where we thought we were being private, you know, in our business, but yet we had someone preying on us unknowingly, God. We could have been the one whose family was killed and the perpetrator got away with it, per se.
Heavenly Father, we thank you because you always have us on your mind, God. Mm-hmm. And as we know, you always have us on your mind, God. We take this time as a unit to lift up Stacey Dash before you, God, a woman who has such a horrific childhood and background and backstory, God, whose parents failed her miserably, the Heavenly Father. A life that really could have gone even worse than what it did. But she's accrediting you, dear Heavenly Father, for her recovery, for her pickup, for her getting back on track. And we're thanking you, dear Heavenly Father, for just rescuing her. Lord, we give her to you, dear Heavenly Father, as a person who has already known the life of struggle from a very little girl, dear Heavenly Father. She has been struggling, God. She hasn't even had the parental structure or protection or guidance, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, it took her so long living a life of an addict for her to even have the awareness that that's what her life was. And, Lord, we're thanking you, God, for the revelation. No matter how late the hour may have been, God, but that at some point she realized that her life was not her own, that there was something else controlling who she was and controlling what she did and controlling where she went and how she spent her money, dear Heavenly Father. And, Lord, we're just thanking you that it wasn't worse.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been worse. And we thank you, God, for just rescuing her even from where she, you know, was. And Lord, and she uses the words that she accredits you to her sobriety, that she credits you for rescuing her, that she credits you for putting her on a different path, God. We pray, God, that she turns her life and gives it to you wholeheartedly, God. 100% to have Father. 99 and a half won't do, God. But that everything is laid on the altar, dear Heavenly Father, as she understands that a little bit, half, it's not good enough. It's just not good enough. Because if we leave anything out, we leave it to the enemy, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're trusting you with the big things. We're trusting that she trusts you, God, with her entire life. That everybody who follows her, everybody who looks up to her, everybody who enjoys her craft, God, would see this side of her, and they would help to strengthen her, help to give her courage, that they would follow in her footsteps of sobriety, dear Heavenly Father, that they would want to get to know the God that she's accrediting, that she's better, that they would want to turn their life around and give their life to you, that they would want to try Jesus. And Lord, we're thanking you for the introduction, God. We don't know where the introduction came from. We don't know who whispered in her ear, dear Heavenly Father. We don't know what material she may have read, dear Heavenly Father. We don't know what church she may have walked up into, God. But again, we always say as she's walking in an industry of worldly behavior, of worldly decision-making, Lord, we ask you to just rescue her again in its integrity, that there is nothing that she won't give to you right now. That if she tried you with this, then she'll try you with that. And we're thanking you, God, that she's speaking openly
that she's not in a corner just living life, but that each of these people, like her and Orlando Brown and all the other ones, the Heavenly Father, who made it, because we've been recently talking about all of those who just dropped dead, but for all of those who made it would openly speak about these addictions, but even more openly let their light shine. The part of the life that they have given to the world, God, that they now give to you, and that the world would see that, dear Heavenly Father, and that the world would know that Jesus saved. And as they're in the limelight, dear Heavenly Father, that they would do more than just entertain us. That they would realize that you left them here, God, so that you could get the blessing out of their life, and that they could entertain others with your truth, with your word, with your will and your way, with your level of understanding and your words, dear Heavenly Father. That nothing in their life would be withheld from you, God. That if she has children, if she has brothers and sisters, her cousin who's in the limelight, dear Heavenly Father, that anybody who her life touches would be changed, because they all would be paying attention to you now, God. That this entire entertainment industry would be chipped away by each individual who gives their life to you, God. And we're thanking you, dear Father, that we're able to pray for Stacey Dash, God. Not pray for her family because she's not here. Not pray for everybody she left behind. But pray for her and celebrate the fact that you have given her another opportunity. And thank you for our understanding of who you are, so that we can celebrate you, God. And we can be as to how we understand and look at these people, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray that her life would be changed right under the microscope of this world, and that she could stand out and just shout to the mountaintop who you are and what you're capable of. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We want to thank you, Shantice, for bringing Stacey Dash to our attention. And keep on doing that research.
You're welcome.
We can continue as people before you, before him. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, you know, we give God thanks for being able to pray, you know. Sometimes we're so low that we can't even lift up a word of thanks, of petition for ourselves or anybody else, because the weight is so heavy. And, you know, it's a blessing to be able to do that, because, you know, when you're engulfed by depression and, you know, loneliness and the weight of the world is on your shoulder, you can't even talk to God sometimes. Sometimes you wonder, what am I talking to God about? What's the point? You know, the Bible says that, you know, he's close to the brokenhearted. Well, I've been brokenhearted and he ain't close to me. I don't feel him. I don't see him. I don't know him. I don't understand him. What's the point? And, you know, we talk about, you know, these particular people today and the things that they have gone through or the things that they have decided to do, or, you know, what's our earthly, you know, what do we feel is earthly justice versus, you know, God's vengeance, you know, that he says, leave to me. And it's extremely difficult, you know, at times. You know, think about her and her parents. To go back in the recesses of your memory and think about the fact that your parents were the ones who allowed these things to happen, whether they, you know, knew about it or whether they didn't, because they were so busy on their own, you know, journey in life that they didn't remember that you even existed, or, you know, your mother offers you a line of drugs. This is not the first time. I brought this up before, you know, of parents offering their children drugs and showing their children drug usage. And it's like, what could possibly be going on in your head that you would offer this to your child and not think about the fact that this is something that they may have to contend with for the rest of their life? This journey could be for the rest of their life. And we talk about these news stories, and we have to, because this stuff is real. You know, again, you can't make this stuff up. You cannot make reality up. I don't understand why, you know, on reality shows they have to add in anything. Because if you just let people be people, imagine if something like this was on a reality show. You'd have to make this up. This was something that happened in her, true life. And now she spent how many decades struggling? I believe she's my age. And again, I'm 54. And imagine from the time of 16. So that means almost 40 years. You've been battling longer than somebody's even been on this earth, or as long as someone's been on this earth. You've been battling addiction, all because your parents offered you something. How in the world do we get around that? You have to be a strong person for your parents to offer you drugs and you say no thank you. You know, what happens when things happen to us and we just can't shake this stuff? The only thing we know is Jesus. The only thing that makes the difference, the only being that makes the difference. When you can't even trust your earthly parents, the only thing that you have is Jesus. And like Shanti said, my peace I give to you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that's a verse I learned when I was a kid in camp. And that's what, you know, it means when, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, because as they grow older, they will not depart from it. You know, while somebody else's parents was showing them drugs, while somebody else's family was showing them drugs, I was being shown the word of God. And these type of things will linger with you. So are we going to talk about, you know, this vengeance is going to linger with us, animosity and bitterness? Or the word of God is going to lead us to what we have. So we give God thanks for everything that he's done for us, because others did not make it. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me hold it down. Thank you for listening and being a part of the conversation. Thank you so much for your comment. We couldn't do it without you. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now. Later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life with Freestyle Friday. I love you.
you